According to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our growth comes through the Scriptures. Join me, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28, we have the gift of helper. Continuing our study on gifts, ministries, and effects. Using the gifts, the 11 permanent gifts of the church age, using the 11 permanent gifts as a framework, as an outline in which to discuss ministries and effects as well as gifts. We're offering explanations and illustrations. This is an intermediate study that's designed as an expansion of the basic study that we have in the Basic Doctrinal Studies notebook. So far, we've taken a look at administrator, evangelist, faith worker, giver. We wrapped up the gift of giving last week. So I expect our treasurer will be very surprised this morning to find extra money in the grace box. We taught the gift of giving last week, and now today we're going to move on to helper, mercy shower, paraclete, server minister, teacher, pastor teacher. We got a lot more to go. All right. And I think I'm missing one. That's okay. We'll follow along the slideshow and see where it goes. Before we get started, let's take a moment for silent prayer, asking the Father to set aside distractions and to take every thought captive in obedience to Christ Jesus. Shall we pray? Most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the truth of your word and the blessing we have this evening to assemble together. We call upon your faithfulness, Father, to open the eyes of our understanding and you might expand our thinking, Father. Give us a big picture view of these gifts, these ministries, and these effects. And help each one of us, Father. Several of us are praying over our giftedness and praying over open door opportunities for service, ministry open doors, and all of these things, Father. Make clear to us what you would have for us to do. We want to be true disciples, Father, living in the Word and living out the faith that we're learning. And so I do thank you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right. I just realized my notes are missing the gift of leaders. And that's not on paper, but it is in the notes. Okay, so we'll tackle that when we get there. How about that? All right. 1 Corinthians 12 and the use of these things, the fact that we are individually members of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:27, you are Christ's body and individually members of it. God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. Then, and we've got a whole string of thens. It doesn't keep getting outlined, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. It's just first, second, third, then, and a whole bunch of thens. Miracles, healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All right, so within that framework then, within that verse, nested within there is the antilepsis, the gift of helps, all right, the gift of helps. And we want to talk about helper, and we want to talk about what helper is, what helper is not. I think helper is a way of escape for a lot of people that view the gift of helps because they don't want anything else. They don't want the other gifts. They're afraid of whatever else. They don't want the responsibility. Helps is a huge responsibility, all right? It's kind of a default run home to whatever concept that, well, I don't want to be in charge of anything. I just want to help other people. I want to be a helper. And so it becomes an escape. It's not an escape. It is a ministry opportunity like every other gift is a ministry opportunity. And the responsibilities are just as vital as every other responsibility. So this giftedness is what it is, and it's not a second-class gift, all right? It's not an inferior gift. Indeed, the gifts that seem to be less important are the ones that are most important, and we want to be clear on that. So the gift of helps, or helper. I was working to make every gift with an "er" ending. Usually it's called just, though, helps, as it says here in verse 28, helps, okay? Or helpings. No, helping sounds like a meal. We have helps or helper. This is the person who does the helping. All right, and it's not It's not minimal. It's not extraneous. It is vital. It is necessary. And in fact, other ministries won't succeed without helpers coming along to add the Holy Spirit's empowerment that is provided when the helper comes alongside. All right, every believer ought to be helpful to one another as well as to those outside the church. We've said that. How many times have we said this? You're not excused from helping just because you don't have the gift of helps. All right? You're not excused from giving because you don't have the gift of giving. Every believer is expected to give. You're not excused from evangelizing just because you don't have the gift of evangelist. Every believer is expected to evangelize. You're not excused from any of these functions. All right? And you're not excused from helping. You know, pastors or others that, you know, they say, well, you know, I would help you, but, you know, I'm a pastor teacher and that's beneath me. Well, you know, what is that? That's stupid. All right? And if serving is beneath you, remember that? I put this on Facebook a couple weeks ago. If serving is beneath you, then leadership is beyond you. And that is so true. When I came across that poster, I just fell in love with it. That we're all here to serve. We're all here to help. Every believer should help. Every believer ought to be helpful to one another as those who are outside the church, as well as those outside the church. And so we have it. Acts 20, 35, Romans 8, 23 through 26. Hey, my dash showed back up again. Galatians 6, 10, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11 and verse 12. There's plenty of verses that talk about our helpfulness one towards another. And we should all be helpful. No question on that, all right? However, believers with this particular gift manifest the Holy Spirit through an extraordinary grace enablement. Those words show up on every slide. Those words show up with every gift. Believers with this particular gift manifest God the Holy Spirit. Remember, a gift is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the common good. That is undeniable from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. We have a manifestation of God the Holy Spirit. That is what our spiritual gift is. That's what empowers it. That's what energizes it. That's what produces what it produces. See? And you may not see it. You may not recognize it until it hits you. That's how it works, right? That's why wind is the illustration for spirit. The Spirit is the wind. The Spirit is the breath. The Spirit is the pneuma, all right? And you can't see it. You don't know where it's coming from, and you can't explain it. You don't know why. You don't know how. But when the wind hits you in the face, you know, wow, that's the wind. Okay? When the Spirit is moving, you know it. And when the Spirit is empowering your gift, you know it. It is a manifestation of the Spirit. It is not a mystery of the Spirit. It is not a hidden thing of the Spirit. It is not a, gee, I wonder if that's the Spirit. No, it is a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And you go, wow, that was the Holy Spirit right there. That wasn't me. Wasn't my ability. Wasn't my strength. An extraordinary grace enablement. And what does it do? That complements other believers' giftings. So you have a pastor teacher, you have an evangelist, or you have a giver, or you have an exhorter, or you have whatever. You've got another believer exercising their gift, and there's empowerment in that gift, and it accomplishes, it pursues ministry and accomplishes effects. But how much more does it accomplish when a gifted helper comes on board? When a gifted helper comes alongside and in tandem with that gift? You see, what an evangelist does by himself, or what does an evangelist do with a helper? Okay? What is that's why, you know, we have this. And in a lot of cases, you know, wives are designed to be the helpmates for their husbands. I think a lot of wives, I'm not saying every wife has to be a helper by gift, but I'm saying a lot of wives, it's a fitting role for the wife with that gift, see? But men have the gift. There are men helpers. All right? We'll talk about this. But the extraordinary grace enablement that complements other believers' giftings in the coordinated achievement of work. The coordinated achievement of work. Because remember, we're pursuing similar ministries. We could be pursuing identical ministries. We could be accomplishing identical works. the Father can be working in and through us, and the effects that are produced, they're produced by the Father. So is it being produced through my gift or your gift or all of the above? Because all of these believers are coming together in the pursuit of a ministry, as the Scripture defines it. All right, so let's look at some of these. Acts 20 and verse 35. Acts 20, this is the Apostle Paul's farewell message to the saints at Ephesus. And the opportunity we have to serve and to help. He says here, after he warns them, he's warning these elders to look out for themselves and for all the flock. And boy, this passage gets so convicting. Because he tells them that he calls them elders, he calls them overseers, and he says, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And there's going to be conflict in this. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things. He says, some of you men, he's looking at these elders right here, he's looking at these men. And he says, some of you are going to fall away. Some of you will have a perverted message, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. You know, and this is, you know, I think there's a place for daily ministry. If a nation's going through some very difficult times, maybe we'll have, perhaps we'll have daily assembly at some point in our future. See, instead of trying to divvy up six teaching sessions in Sundays and Wednesdays, right? We have two Sunday morning, two Sunday evenings, one Sunday Wednesday morning, one Wednesday evening. We do teach six times a week. We just pack it all into 2 days. What if we had assembly on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? What if we got together every day of the week? Well, difficult times may be coming, and we may have that in front of us. He says, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among those who are sanctified. Able to. That is, if you're abiding in the Word and you let the Word of God do its work. Now, here's where we get to this issue on helping. Okay? And it also, by the way, touches on giving and it touches on other applications as well. He says, I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands, right? You write a song called These Hands. Paul would like that song. These hands ministered to my own needs. Paul worked with his hands. He was a tent maker by trade. All right? These hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. In everything, I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must, and here's our verb, help. Help the weak. Okay? And notice, it's not financially bail out the poor. It's help the weak. That is, if you have a divine viewpoint perspective on finances, then you are able to come alongside a weak brother that is diminished in their grace capacity. But it's a helping application, okay? And so I want to stress the helping component, not necessarily the financial component. That was last week. Last week we were talking about giving. Tonight I want to stress the helping side of things. That you will help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so here we find not just the giving, not just the money involved and the help, but it's the help. And in the help, who's blessed? In the help, it's the one giving that's blessed. It's the one that's helping the weak that's blessed. And so it is a helping activity that blesses the helper. That blesses the helper. And so we shall all be ready to help. Without the gift of giving, we may have the gift of helps. See? And even without the gift of help, every one of us is expected to be a helper. Okay? All right. Romans 8, 23 through 26. Romans chapter 8. I love Romans 8. It opens with no condemnation. It ends with no separation. And that powerful book written by Marcus Rainsford, if you never read it, Marcus Rainsford, No Condemnation, No Separation. And that's his devotional commentary on Romans chapter 8. And within the scope of this then, verses 23 through 26, and we have helping. And the Holy Spirit is our helper. There's a lot of things here. But there's groaning that takes place. And there's this anxious longing. Romans 8:23, not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. And so we're saved. We're living the Christian way of life. We're operating as we're designed to be operating. But still, we got fallen bodies in a fallen world. So we need help. You probably noticed that. The day you got saved, nothing happened to your body. You weren't glorified and transformed and given a resurrection body. That you got the same body as a believer you had as an unbeliever. And so creation is groaning and we are groaning. And we're waiting eagerly for that last thing. The last thing that's required is the transformation of this body of death. Either through resurrection or rapture transformation. Either way. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? Okay? That doesn't make any sense. We're hoping for what we don't see yet, and that's what we're waiting for, what we're anticipating. As creatures of time, bound by time, we're waiting for these things to be supplied in time. But if we hope for what we do not see with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. Now notice, in the same way, and I think you lose the detail if all you do is lock in on verse 26 and say, look at that, the Spirit helps our weaknesses. Okay? Now I get that. The Spirit does help our weaknesses. And so we get a pattern here. Since your giftedness, if you've got the gift of helps, all right, anybody tonight think they have the gift of helps? All right, well, that's all right. We'll teach this again when we have helpers present among us. All right? Say, I know your gift. I know your gift. I know your gift. I know your gift. I know almost all the gifts in this room. All right? Maybe. I think Fallon's got all 11 gifts. Well, 10 of them. She doesn't have pastor teacher, but she's got the other 10. But the idea of helping, the idea of coming alongside, and the gift of faith ultimately can empower all these amazing things. See? But empowerment here, the need of help, the Spirit helps our weaknesses. Well, by golly, that's what the Spirit does. And so if I've got the Spirit, manifestation of the Spirit, which is the gift of helps, you see what I'm doing? I'm doing what this verse is doing, which means I'm praying because the Holy Spirit's praying. The Spirit helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Now, if this is what the Holy Spirit's doing, this is what I should be doing with the gift of helps, I should never miss a prayer meeting. I should be right there on board. I should be interceding for the saints with the gift of helps, coming alongside and helping, adding my empowerment to their empowerment in the use of their giftedness. And not just in the prayer meetings, but while they're ministering, while they're serving, and the things they're doing, while the effects are being born. Come alongside with my gift of helps. Stand in the background and pray with my gift of helps, adding my empowerment to what they're doing. Okay? And in whatever it is. Okay? I've been on the back row. I've heard some shaky preaching. I go to prayer. I start to pray. I start to help. And how do I help? I don't barge up to the pulpit and shove them aside and say, I can preach this better. And, you know, no, I sit on the back row, okay? I watch a lot of young preachers. I watch a lot of first-time preachers and young guys and whatever. And I'm their biggest cheerleader. I'm their biggest fan. I'm their biggest helper. Prayerfully, okay? From the back row. Praying, okay? I've done it in this church. I've done it in other churches. I've done it in public. I've done it in different places. I've done it on TV, well, not me on TV, but somebody else on TV, where I've seen them getting interviewed, and I think, oh, that's a minefield. And I know they're a Christian. I know they're going to try to represent the scriptures. And I think if they're not careful, they're gonna step in it. And I said, I'm gonna pray. And so I pray. And that's the helping function. Okay. Now my gift is not the gift of helps. My gift is the gift of pastor teacher. But that's the helping function in that giftedness and in that ministry. All right. And so going back then to those words, in the same way, well, what's that about? Well, back up to verses 23, 24, and 25. Back up to see the groaning and the weakness and the hoping and the waiting. And in the function then of helps, I think, should include that in what they're doing. All right. So we ought to be helpful. Galatians 6:10. Wait a minute. Galatians 6:10. Isn't that where we were this morning? What, did I preach this already today? So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. That's about 7 billion people on this planet. Where do I start? Well, especially to those who are of the household of the faith. All right, so my help, my doing of good, I'm drawing a bit of an equivalency there, between the helping and the doing of the good, the ergodzomai of the agathos. Okay? We'll have to say more on that Wednesday night. We're going to start especially with the body of Christ, and especially with the flock of Austin Bible Church. Beyond the flock of Austin Bible Church, the body of Christ beyond these walls, and then beyond that, all of humanity on the planet. That's pretty ambitious. Then 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 11 and 12. 1 Thessalonians 4, make it your ambition. Do you consider yourself an ambitious person? Well, there's carnal ambitions, and then there's spiritual ambitions, and then there's, you know, there's biblical ambitions, there's worldly ambitions, but here's our ambition. We should make it our ambition to lead a quiet life. The world will never tell you that. I mean, in the world's definition of things, a quiet life is like the opposite of ambition. You know, they look at you and your quiet life and they say, oh, I'm so sad. I'm so sorry. You're so sad. You have no ambition. You know, Scripture says our ambition is to lead a quiet life. And make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business. Work with your hands just as we commanded you. This is the focus of our prayer life. If you have political prayers, 1 Timothy 2 says your political prayers need to be shaped by this verse right here. For kings and all who are in authority, that we can live a quiet life in godliness and dignity. The quiet life described here. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your own hands as we commanded you, so that you will behave properly. What's that about? Towards outsiders and not be in any need. And here's the provision. We're going to be working hard. We're going to provide for our household, especially, if we don't provide for our own household, we're worse than an unbeliever. Provide for our own. Provide for our household and the body of Christ. You see, we've got the prioritized system right there. All right, so that's why, you know, and the things of what we produce. And there's no shortage of people calling, asking for money. Donald Trump called me and asked me for money this afternoon, you know. I think, why is he asking me for money? This guy's a billionaire. But he was asking me for money. People are asking for money, and there's Easter seals, and there's paralyzed veterans, and there's any number of charities and worthy causes. I'm not telling you they're not worthy. But what I'm saying is we start somewhere, we prioritize, and we begin to supply. And remarkably enough, both with giving and with helps, if we're oriented properly, then we will walk through every open door and there will always be a supply. Because we'll never run out of people to help. We'll never run out of helping opportunities. We'll never run out of giving opportunities. We might think that sometime we're going to run out of money or we're going to run out of helping time or helping strength or helping ability and whatever. But as we serve, we realize the strength is not our own. The money is not our own. And so both in giving and in helping, I like the way these are back to back, in giving and in helping, all right, we just continue and continue and continue, and it's just amazing to watch the loaves are multiplied, the fishes are multiplied, the oil never runs out. And we continue to help, and we continue to help, and we will reap in due time if we do not grow weary, okay? Again, that's back to the Galatians 6 application and what we'll talk about Wednesday night. So every believer ought to be helpful to one another. To one another inside the church as well as those outside the church. Believers with this particular gift, however, manifest above and beyond. Okay? It's the enablement of the Holy Spirit to help above and below and beyond. You come alongside and you help, and the Holy Spirit empowers that. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And so, how much work gets done? More than would be done without that help. See? Such believers could provide logistical support functions for a local church ministry. All right? Logistically. And so you understand that it overlaps a little bit with the gift of giving because some of that logistical support is money. But much more is also time and talent and effort. I should have stressed that last week. I think somebody asked last week, giving is more than money. Giving is also time and talent and service. That was you. Okay. And so that's true. And so everywhere where that overlaps then, this gift of giving and this gift of helps is really looking at flip sides of the same coin, right? So such believers can provide logistical support functions for a local church ministry. 1 Corinthians 16:16, and here's a great illustration. I think this is excellent. I didn't select it for my prime example, but I could have. All right, 1 Corinthians 16, and do these guys have the gift of helps, or has this been a helping ministry that they've engaged in? It's not entirely clear, but I think we can speculate. I think we could conclude some things. 1 Corinthians 16:16, and even backing up even prior to that, I'll start there. I'll start with verse 13. Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Okay? Remember, this is a pentad. These are five imperatives. This is a fivefold imperative that Paul uses to close this epistle. And this fivefold imperative covers all of us. Every one of us should be on the alert. Every one of us should stand firm in the faith. Every one of us, even ladies, should act like men. Okay? Spiritually speaking now. Remember, there's no male or female in Christ. All right? Be strong. Passive voice. Be strengthened. Let all that you do be done in love. Okay? Now, that's a fivefold imperative that covers every gift, every ministry, every effect. Everything we're studying tonight should operate within the scope of these five imperatives. And it goes on. Now I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas. Okay? And this is a great illustration, I think. If not of the giftedness, at least the ministry of helps. All right? Could also illustrate a lot of other ministries. I think I'm going to use it for server minister. I may use it for hospitality, which is a mercy showing application. But here's the household of Stephanas, that they were the first fruits of Achaia. Man, there's a story. The first fruits, the first believers, the first members of the body of Christ in that lower region of Greece. And they have devoted themselves for ministry to the saints. Now here, I'm not going to put it in the notes under the gift of helps, but I think it's still a useful illustration for what I'm getting at, okay? I think we also see ministry here, the server minister gift. We see a devotion, all right? That's vital. If you're studying ministry, you realize ministry is not a hobby. A ministry is not a take it or leave it kind of thing, right? A ministry is a devotion. And if you find you're devoted to a hobby, I gotta be careful. Am I devoted to the ministry, or am I devoted to Scrabble? Okay, well, one is a devotion, the other's a hobby. It's a pastime. Take it or leave it. If I miss a Monday, I miss a Monday. All right, it's every Monday night, 6:30, the Austin Rec Center. You're welcome to join us. Okay, it only costs a dollar. You can play three games for a dollar. It's marvelous entertainment, but it's a hobby. I'm not devoted to it. Remember, a devotion is something that you sacrifice other things for. My wife isn't starving because of my Scrabble addiction. All right? And yes, I win a prize every year for the best attendance and the most number of games played. Only because I'm there a lot most Monday nights. But it's not a devotion in contrast with the ministry, of course. All right. Devoted themselves for ministry to the saints, that you be in subjection to such men. Wow. Is he an apostle? Is Stephanus an apostle or a prophet or a pastor? Is he the authority in the church? I mean, when I think subjection, isn't that an authority issue? Well, no. Because subjection is mutual, reciprocal subjection. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ, in the love of Christ. Be subject to one another. Be subject to these helpers. You be in subjection to such men, not just them, but men like them, such men. And to everyone who helps, there it is, to everyone who helps in the work and the labors. Everyone who helps in the work and the labors. The helpers, be subject to your helpers. Love them, bless them, pray for them, encourage them, strengthen them. I learned this weekend, I forgot to tell Matt this, I learned this weekend that a lady in our church, in our childhood church where we were growing up, Carla Krause, was a marvelous helper, and she was a VBS director, I don't know how many times. You have a vacation Bible school in the summer, and there's Carla Krause. She's the director many, many times. Anyway, pray for her. There's a cancer diagnosis, and there's don't have a lot of detail right now, but pray for her. All right, I'm told stage 3 kidney. That's all I know. All right, I did some Googling. I read some things. I learned that there's a lot more questions than answers at this point because there's scads of different types of kidney cancers. But stage 3 is better than stage 4, okay, and whatever else is there. But anyway, when I think of being subject to helpers, I think of Carla Krause. I think of a whole lot of other, I think of Sunday school teachers. I think of a lot of other helpers. I think of Fred Mailer. Oh, man, there's a man who was a helper by gift, a helper by ministry. That man just did everything under the sun. And when we sang Higher Ground tonight, I was on the verge of tears because that was his favorite song. Pressing on the Upward Way. That was his all-time favorite song. And every time I sing that song, I think of Fred, who was a helper by gift, pursued that ministry, was faithful in so many ways, went to be with the Lord in April of 1987, and things there. All right. So you've got a family ministry here. Stephanus and his household, his wife, his kids, their slaves, whoever else was a part of a Roman household in the first century. And they engaged in a ministry pursuit. And I expect that that household reflected a lot of different gifts. Stephanus had a gift. Mrs. Stephanus had a gift. Their kids had their gifts. The servants had their gifts and other things. But together, the household engaged in a ministry, a cooperative ministry. That's, I think, significant. They devoted themselves for ministry to the saints. They said, we're going to be server ministers to the saints. And whatever fast that might be, okay? I mean, we've got folks here that they open up their homes. They open up, they host missionaries. They want to know, hey, when's the next time a missionary is coming to town? We want to host them. And that's their ministry. They're dedicated to service to the saints. Or they find ministry in driving. We've got quite a bit of driving going on now for the elderly and different things. Going to this appointment, that appointment, shopping, running this errand, running that errand. That's devotion to ministry to the saints. We'll illustrate that when we talk about the server minister gift. All right, but be in subjection to such men and to everyone who helps in the work and in the labors. I noticed in the Philippines, Freddie had this role. And Ralph and Cindy LaRosa were missionaries for a long, long time. But man, this helper, he was extraordinary. He was a driver. He was a porter. He carried luggage. He was a translator. He was, his name wasn't Freddie. His name was Jeff. What am I talking about? Jeff. Jeff was an amazing server minister. And he was always there. Okay? And he was never off duty until Ralph and Cindy were off duty, and then he wouldn't go off duty, right? But he was there first thing in the morning when the, you know, and there last thing at night. He was an ultimate helper, server minister, and helping in the works and in the labors. Helpers may, so they provide logistical support functions for a local church ministry. And yeah, if you think about it, loading the bags, toting the bags, driving the van, unloading, setting up the AV equipment, running the recording desk, all these things, would the ministry take place without them? Think about what gets achieved. Think about the coordinated achievement of ministry pursuits and the accomplishment of effects. Helpers may serve in the office of deacon. Romans 15:24 and Romans 16:2. We'll have more to say about this because this is Phoebe here in Romans 16. But in Romans 15:24, we have helping. And Paul says, I'm on my way. I'm going to visit you. I'm going to pass by you. And I'm going to move on to Spain. In Romans 15:22, for this reason I have often been prevented from coming to you, but now with no further place for me in these regions, since I have had for many years a longing to come to you whenever I go to Spain. For I hope to see you in passing and to be helped on my way there by you. So that includes giving, that includes all kinds of logistical support. To be helped on my way there by you when I have first enjoyed your company for a while. And then the gift of helping is able to coordinate and get Paul from Rome to Spain. But now I'm going to Jerusalem serving the saints. So there's helping there. And there's a ministry there. And deacons can be a powerful office that serves within the flock. Romans 16, verses 1 and 2. I commend you to our sister Phoebe. All right. Look forward to meeting her someday. This particular Phoebe is in heaven already, obviously, a first century sister. We got a little girl here in this church named Phoebe, and she's kind of fun to talk to every chance I get. Anyway, here's the biblical Phoebe, who is a deaconess of the church, which is at Cenchrea. The noun there for servant is the female gender of diakonos. It's the female gender of deacon. All right? And it's like, you know, it's not like English. It's like Spanish or other languages where we have gender in our language. We can talk about, the difference between blanco and blanca is either a white guy or a white girl or a white thing, depending on what we're talking about. A Casablanca is a white house because casa is feminine for whatever reason. I don't know. But there, that we have the nature of gender. In a gender-inflected language, well, Greek inflects the gender in its language, and this is the feminine. Phoebe is a deaconess. And churches that don't want to have deaconesses have to explain this, all right? Which is why we amended our constitution a few years back to change. We used to have requirements for deacon was no fewer than 3 nor more than 6 male voting members. And we had to amend that. We got rid of the no more than 6 part. We kept the no fewer than 3 part. Just we felt it was useful to have a floor, to have a minimum for the quorum and the conducting of business. But so we kept that part, but we removed the nor maximum of 6. Where's that in the Bible? We couldn't find a verse to justify capping it at 6 deacons. You know, if 6 deacons need help, get a 7th deacon, get an 8th deacon, you know, get 100 deacons, however many you need. If you need them, get them. And then we removed the word male. No less than 3 nor more than 6 male voting members. Now it says no less than 3 voting members. All right, because we have deacons and deaconesses in reflection of the passage here, as well as 1 Timothy chapter 3. Notice verse 2, that you receive her in the Lord. See, she's traveling. She's a deaconess at Cenchrea, but she's on her way to Rome. She may have been the courier for this book. Right? She may have been the courier that handed them the scroll that later became the book of Romans written in our canon of Scripture. Receive her, welcome her, host her in the Lord. Okay, positional truth, the body of Christ, in a manner worthy of the saints. To me, biblical Christianity did more than anything else in the history of the world to uplift women, and the role of women in the early church was staggering. Our disciples, I mean, Jesus was staggering the disciples. He was talking to the woman at the well, and the Jewish disciples were like, what are you talking to her for? Because she was a woman and a Samaritan. There's two strikes against her. But Jesus and the women that followed him and the women that served him, and Paul reflects that, and boy, it yanks my chain when these feminist authors try to convince me that Paul was misogynistic. Oh, opposite. You got it backwards and upside down, and you don't know what you're talking about. So here's Phoebe. Receive her in a manner worthy of the saints. You help her. And here's our verb to help that's connected to our spiritual gift of helps. Help her in whatever matter she may have need of you. Whatever. You know what a blank check that is? Whatever. This is like the we saw last week with the Good Samaritan. He told the innkeeper, take care of this guy, and whatever else you spend in tending to his needs, I will repay, right? That's a whatever, empty blank check. Fill it out, whatever you need. Here, help Phoebe in whatever matter she may have need of you. Now, this verse also, I think, convicts us in some other things. If you have the gift of helps, you realize your giftedness falls into the language of whatever. Ooh, the gift of helps. And you mean I might have to go to the mission field? I don't want to help a missionary. I want to help a Sunday school teacher. I want to help somebody local. I want to help in the nursery. I want to change diapers. Okay, well, you can do that. But whatever, the language of whatever, God may take your giftedness of helps. Particularly if you've been faithful in little things, he may start to entrust you with bigger things, more and more things. He may expand the scope of your ministry. He may get you out of Cenchrea, move you to Rome. He may, is it the case here with Phoebe? Okay? And you say, well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a missionary. I'm just a helper. Yeah. And they need helpers all over the world. All right. For she herself has also been a helper of many and of myself as well. And all the help that she provided and all that. Maybe she gave Paul the haircut. I don't know. You know, whatever. When he got to Cenchrea, which is the port city in the east of Corinth there, when he got to Cenchrea, he cut his hair and he took a vow. Well, who cut his hair? Maybe it was Phoebe. We don't know. All right. But it says she has been a helper of many and of myself as well. So helpers may serve in the office of deacon. That's clearly the case here. Or they may serve as helpers without any office for years and years. I think the helper gift, because the helper gift is probably the closest thing I can't really say that. I think the paraclete, as I say, all of these gifts are pictures of the Holy Spirit. So many of them, right? I think it's easy to see the pastor-teacher gift as a visible picture of Jesus Christ, because the Lord is my shepherd, Jesus is the shepherd, the pastor is the under-shepherd. We have the good, the great, and the chief shepherd, and then we have the under-shepherds. So with a pastor-teacher, I think we've got a great example, a visible reminder of Jesus Christ. But these other gifts, I think, serve as marvelous, visible examples of the invisible God, the Holy Spirit. Now, God, the Holy Spirit, is called a helper. He said, I will send you another. I will send you a helper. But when we get into the helper of John, of the Upper Room Discourse there, we're talking about the paraclete. And the paraclete is different from the antilimpsis that we're looking at here with this helper. Okay? And so, in some respects, that promise of the helper, I'm very not fond of the translation helper for the paraclete, okay? I want to keep the paraclete, because it's an exhorter, a comforter, an encourager. And there's no question that that helps, okay? Encouragement helps, comfort helps, exhortation helps. But a paraclete is not a ontolimpsis helper, all right? We'll say more on that here in a moment. But those gifts, I think, are great patterns for the Holy Spirit. I think the gift of faith is a great picture of the Holy Spirit. A believer with the gift of faith, a believer with the gift of server minister, is a great picture of the Holy Spirit. So many of these behind the scenes gifts, they portray the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is a behind the scenes member of Trinity. The Holy Spirit is the invisible member of Trinity who never spotlights himself, who always spotlights the Father and the Son. The whole drive of the Holy Spirit is to spotlight the Father and the Son. And I love that. All right. So some points of study now related to helper. 3 points. This giftedness is represented in a spectrum of interrelated terms. For a lot of the early gifts, we were looking at the BDAG lexicon. But for a couple of these later gifts, we've gone to Lawanita instead. We've looked at a spectrum of vocabulary expressions. And again, I want to do that here with helps, because there's so many different terms that are translated to help. To help, to share, to support, to strengthen. So the Lawanita lexicon would be the best lexicon to explore this vocabulary. Did I do it? I did it. Look at that. Thank you, Lord. I was afraid I hadn't done that one. So there it is. Let's bring it out. Let's make it full. Let's enlarge it. Back row readable. All right. In this realm of help, this is the Lawanita lexicon, where it's arranging terms by their semantic domain. Notice it's category number 35. Category number 35 is to help or to care for, and within that is subpoint A, to help. There's other subdomains, subdomains A through H, where helping is help, helping is serve, helping is provide for or support, helping is care for or take care of. Helping could be entrust or take care of, or to rear or to bring up, to adopt. Okay, and then clearly the antonym of helping is to desert or to forsake. All right? So that whole subdomain right there, from 35.1 to 35.56, you've got 56 different words and expressions and terms and concepts in the New Testament that we would all or could very easily place within the giftedness of helps, within helping ministries. All right? Oftentimes I think of hospitality as a server minister ministry or a mercy showing ministry. It may also be a helping ministry. It could be a ministry pursued by a gifted helper. All right? Or all of the above. It could be a team effort. Hospitality. See, I don't list hospitality as a gift because I don't see hospitality in a gift passage. I see it in ministry passages. Practicing hospitality, contributing to the needs of the saints. Those are ministry applications of different giftedness. So, terms for helping, terms for serving, terms for providing for, supporting. If you're supporting some traveling evangelists, then you're helping them. Caring for, taking care of. You know, Jesus wanted John to care for his mother. He's hanging on the cross and he said, "Woman, behold your son." He said, "Son," he said, told John, he said, "Behold your mother." And he entrusted Mary, the former virgin, he entrusted Mary, the no longer virgin, to the Apostle John, interestingly enough. Even though he's got 4 brothers and at least 2 sisters, And that, to me, that's powerful, because they weren't saved yet. They don't get saved till after the resurrection. And while he's hanging on the cross, he's not going to entrust his mother to those unbelieving brothers. He goes to his cousin. I believe James and John were cousins. And anyway, told the Apostle John, he said, "You take care of Mary." All right? I think Mary and Salome were sisters. And if you harmonize a lot of scriptures that way and put them together. Anyway, that makes John and James cousins to Jesus. So care for, take care of, entrust, to bring up a child, to adopt. All of these are helping terms. All right. And so we start with antilambanomai. That's the verb what we're dealing with. A lot of the verses we've seen tonight include this verb. Antilimpsis is the noun that comes from that verb. There's antilambanomai, epilambanomai, hupalambano, sum balamai, paristamai, ent ekamai, eparkeo, baetheo, baetheia. And this baetheo, this one gets used a lot. This one's huge. Okay, the baetheo and the baetheia, those last two there in that list. To assist in supplying what may be needed to help. And so this is the provision. This is the activity. We observe a need and we help. Okay? Not because they deserve it, but because there's a need. Christ deserves it. All right? So Acts 20:35, I have shown you all things that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And that's our anti-lambanomai there with the weak. Saw that earlier. As in the case of so many words with this meaning of help, it may be necessary in some instances to use an equivalent phrase, for example, to supply people with what they need or to give people what is necessary and so forth. That's a translator suggestion here for folks that are trying to bring these expressions into English. How about Hebrews 2:16? It is clear that it is not the angels that he helps. Does Jesus give help to the angels or does he give help to the sons of men? Understand, he was on the cross as the God-man, not the God-angel. And he sits at the Father's right hand as the God-man, the kinsman redeemer. He ever liveth to make intercession for who? The angels? No, for us. For assuredly, he does not give help to the angels. And so there's epi-lambano in that verse, Hebrews 2:16. I think that's an interesting verse. Any believer that has the gift of helps ought to look there and get some guidance. There's a hupalambano in 3 John verse 8. Therefore, we ought to help such men. These are the ministers that went out not accepting any money from the Gentiles. We should be helpers of such men. That's hupalambano. Acts 18:27, assum lambano. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who through grace had become believers. And here's a ministry of, it's Apollos there in Acts 18:27. And after Priscilla and Aquila explained the things more accurately, he crosses over to Achaia. And the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he had arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. He becomes a helper. Some people think Apollos was an apostle. Some people think Apollos was a prophet. And it's hard, but I mean, here he's helping. Does he have the gift of helps? He's powerful in the Scriptures. He's an eloquent man and powerful in the Scriptures, we're told. See? For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating by the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. And that's what helped the saints in Achaia, was his teaching, was his apologetic ministry. There's parhistamai. Romans 16:2. Give the, we read this earlier with respect to Phoebe. Give her any help she may need from you. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, be of help to the weak. Saw that earlier as well. 1 Timothy 5:10, if she has helped those in trouble. These are the widows that are put on the list. You can support these widows. Honor the widows who are widows indeed. And they've spent their life helping. They're going to continue to help. But we have to support them. And so you've got an opportunity there with the older women in the church. They can enter into an office of widow in that capacity. Mark 9:22, have pity on us and help us if you possibly can. That's baetheo there. And Jesus gets a little bit insulted there. He says, if I can, all things are possible with God. I think this is also in a similar context to where he says, I do believe, help my unbelief. Okay? And I can appreciate that as well. You know, unbelief needs help. So what kind of ministry do you think a helper ought to get engaged in? Okay. Helping somebody's unbelief. Coming alongside. It's like what the gift of faith does. It's like what the gift of encouragement does. And so can you imagine where a gifted paraclete, a gifted helper, and a gifted faith worker can come together in a ministry? What kind of tandem would that be? All right. What kind of ministry pursuits might they achieve? What kind of effects can the Father bear in and through a team like that? Wow. Something to think about. All right. We also have ophileo, to help in John 6:63, to provide assistance with emphasis upon the resulting benefit. In John 6, we're told that human nature is of no benefit, is of no help. So it's not human. The help that we offer is not human support. Amunuamai. This is a help in Acts 7:24. When he saw someone being mistreated, he went to his help and took revenge. This is Stephen's sermon where he's talking about Moses back in the day. Philemon 20. For the Lord's sake, let me experience a favor from you, or do me a favor, to be the recipient of a help or a favor. So you see, there's a broad spectrum of terms here. Probably should slow down and go through more of this next week, but let me just give you a couple of closing points. It's that Lawanita lexicon is excellent. The privilege of the helper is to operate in realms of humility and supporting the ministry of others. The privilege of the helper. All right? The privilege of the helper. If it bugs you to have the second billing on the marquee, you're probably not a helper. Okay? You're not going to do well in a helping ministry. Right? If you're going to be Robin and perpetually angry at Batman, because it's never Robin and Batman, it's always Batman and Robin, right? When does Tonto ever throw down the Lone Ranger and take the top billing? I mean, the idea of being a helper, we'll see the concept again when we get to a server minister. Server minister is even more behind the scenes, is even more supportive, okay? More so than helper. Because at least the helper is up front and doing the work alongside the one they're helping. But, you know, you got the pattern here in Matthew 20 and verse 28, in Romans 16, we saw Phoebe in verse 3. There's other illustrations in verse 9. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stachus, my beloved. There's other fellow workers here. There's Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. There's Apelles, the approved in Christ. Think of some of these names. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodion, my kinsman. Those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. But in verse 9, we've specifically got Urbanus, the city slicker, I guess. I don't know, he's urban. Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. That is the helper, the fellow helper in Christ. And Stachus, my beloved. Philippians 4, verses 2 and 3. You know, we often preach Philippians 4 because there's these two women who can't get along. And Paul tells them to start getting along and quit their fighting. And sadly, because we preach this, and it's easy to do, as Yodi and Syneke, these two women, they just can't get along. But here's what we miss. In the process of this, we forget what they've done. So I urge Yodi and I urge Syneke to live in harmony in the Lord, okay? And how many sermons get preached about women that can't get along, or the queen bee syndrome, or all these things about what do you do with these leading women in the church, and how do you get them to cooperate, and blah, blah, blah. And it overlooks the fact men can have problems too with one another, okay? It's not limited to the women. But it's just in this case, it happened to be two women. But it overlooks the fact that they have been tremendous helps. So live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women. And so this true companion, who's he talking to here? Who's he talking to when he says true companion? He's got somebody in mind, and he knows who he is, or she knows who she is. But Paul calls this person true companion. I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel. See, what happens when the encourager needs encouragement? What happens when the helper needs help? What happens when the pastor needs to be pastored? What happens when the evangelist needs good news? These are two helpers, but right now they need help because they're at each other's throats, and that's not doing anybody any good. So help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. That is high praise to Yodia and Syneke. And tremendous compliments above and beyond the spat that they're having right here and right now. And so True Companion is going to come alongside and help these women. You're going to help these women get back on track where they can resume their helping ministries. All right. Well, the privilege of the helper is to operate in realms of humility. And I think the great New Testament example of this gift is the deaconess Phoebe. We've already seen her. The deaconess Phoebe. A great New Testament example of this giftedness is the deaconess Phoebe. All right. We'll pick up here not next week. There's no PMW next week. So in 2 weeks, we'll come back in the month of November and resume with leaders. I may touch on some more of the helping vocabulary, too, if we have some time for that. Thank you, Father, for tonight. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace. I ask that you would open the eyes of our understanding to see these realms of service and helping and serving and giving and encouraging all of these opportunities we have, the gift of faith, to come alongside and help those that are weak in faith. Show us what it means to help. And show us, Father, where some of the things we're doing, we call it help, but it's not help at all. It's the opposite of help. It's excuse making, and that doesn't help. Father, help us to speak the truth in love and to be legitimate helps as imitators of God the Holy Spirit in this regard. I thank you, Father, in Jesus Christ's most precious and holy name. Amen.